Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whose birth we continue to celebrate because God's here. You can't miss him. Last week we gathered to celebrate Christmas. We gathered to rejoice in that amazing miracle that the Son of God wraps himself in human flesh and enters into our history. God's here. You can't miss him. And we let that theme guide us all the way through our worship services. And so as we gathered for a candlelight on Christmas Eve, you and I rejoice as we listen to those angels proclaim to the shepherds that God's here. You can't miss him. The Savior. The one who swooped into time and swooped into our lives, snatched us out of Satan's grasp, rescued us from sure and certain death. God's here. You can't miss him. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. But then the angels had to give them another little hint so that they would know that God's here, so that they wouldn't miss him, and that was the fact that he was the baby, the one that was wrapped in the swaddling cloths and lying in the manger. God's here. You can't miss him. Christmas Day took us to the Gospel of John, and you and I marveled again that God's here. You can't miss him because the Savior and the baby also happens to be the Creator, the one who spoke all things into existence. Not one thing happened without him being involved. The Creator has arrived. God's here. You can't miss him. He is the life. We reminded ourselves of how as God formed Adam from the dust of the ground, he wasn't really alive until God himself, who is the life, breathed life into him. Christmas Day allowed you and me to marvel as people who are really familiar with death, perhaps even more familiar with death because of our sin, to know that the life has arrived. Eternal life is yours because God's here. You can't miss him. He is that light that is shining in the darkness. He is the light that floods this dark world. He is the light that guarantees you and me that we'll be in that light of heaven forever. All because God's here. You can't miss him. For much of the world, and we had talked about this back in Advent already, for much of the world, Christmas ended Monday. It was done on the 25th. Perhaps you've already experienced that a little bit as things kind of go back to normal, and now all you have to talk about are the nice balmy days that you and I are enjoying. You get a little hint this morning. But even though the world maybe has moved on, and the only thing going on at the stores now are the great big long return lines, Christmas is not done. You and I still celebrate the birth of our Lord and our Savior. And this morning we get to rejoice again. God's here. You can't miss him. And today we're going to add two more titles. The Comfort and the Christ. God's here. You can't miss him. We're going to focus our attention on those first paragraph of our gospel lesson for this morning. Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 32. And in verse 25, we are told, now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, waiting for the comfort of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. You may have seen graphics like this before. I have a Bible cover that does kind of the same thing. But if we were to take a little bit of a quiz and you were to start listing names of our Lord and our God, there's all kinds of them that you and I could come up with. Some are more readily familiar than others. Some are not quite as familiar. As our first lesson reminded us, however, that all of these names do not describe all kinds of different gods. It's just one God. This is the God that is revealed to you. This is the God of the Bible. This is that triune God who tells you who he is. You don't have to come up with it. You don't have to make him up. You don't need wood or stone to try to figure out who God might be. And yet we have all of those names. God uses all of those names so that you and I can learn a little bit more about who he is and what he does. Every name focuses our attention on some aspect of this amazing, saving God. Now, the one that we're going to start with this morning, as we're told that Simeon was waiting for the comfort of Israel, is perhaps one of the names that you and I are not as familiar with, maybe not one that readily comes to mind. It's actually on the screen, way up there at the bottom line, right in the middle. Translated advocate. Here it's translated comfort. And while maybe that isn't a name that immediately came to mind, it's not an uncommon name. It's the name that Jesus used to describe the Holy Spirit. When he promised his disciples that he was going to send someone at Pentecost, he said in John chapter 14, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever." Counselor. That's the word. The picture behind this word is the idea of one who kind of pulls you to his side, kind of puts his arm around you, walks along with you, encourages you as you go along the way. And so you can see why you would have counselor, paraclete is the word, comfort, advocate. Jesus himself had this name given to him in 1 John 2. "My children, I write these things to you so that you will not sin. If anyone does sin, we have an advocate before the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one." God's here. You can't miss him. Simeon had been told that he was not going to die until he saw the comfort, the Lord's Christ. And now he is holding in his arms the comfort, the advocate, the counselor, the one who is there for him. No wonder he was filled with that joy, and no wonder he rejoiced that now he could depart in peace, knowing that the comfort of Israel had arrived just as promised. There is only one comfort. The one who comes and puts his hand on your shoulder, wraps his arm around you. Our Lord and our God is here. You can't miss him. And he does come in a way that does not scare you. We had talked before, too, that when you would expect God to arrive, you would think that he would come in all of his might, in all of his power, in all of his majesty. That's kind of a scary thing because you and I as sinners cannot stand in God's presence. And so when God's here, he has to come in a way that doesn't scare us, but comforts us. And so he comes to you and he points to his word. And he points to the waters of baptism and he points to the bread and the wine of the supper. He comes in ways that we can handle him, ways that we can be comforted by him. And he assures us every step of the way that he's the one who's here. He's the comfort. He's the guide. He's the advocate. He's the defender. However you'd like to translate that amazing word that we already hear back in Isaiah chapter 40, comfort, comfort, ye my people. God's here. You can't miss him. He's the comfort. Now, you and I need to remember that. Because we do tend to try to find comfort in other places. Because our Lord and our God, to our way of thinking, sometimes comes not majestic enough, it's too easy to deal with him, therefore he must not be powerful enough, we start looking for comfort in other places, and we love going to other people. But people just disappoint us. I don't know what it is that Dad said, but that little guy didn't like it. Whatever promise Mom made must not have happened. All of those friends that you and I thought we could depend on but weren't there when we really needed them. People let us down. A lot of times they didn't mean it that way. They didn't intend to let us down. They had every intention on keeping the promise, but things get beyond our control. We can't handle everything that comes along, and sometimes we say something with very good intentions, but it just can't happen. Other times, maybe we're just trying to get them off our back, trying to get them to leave me alone, so I said something and I had no intention of doing it. I just said it to make them feel good. Now that happens to you enough times and you stop depending on people. Then you need something else for comfort. And then you start going after things, and that's all they are, is just simply things. And you and I have been bombarded with that over the last couple of weeks. All of these things that you think will give you comfort. You work so hard to get the car, then all it does is rust away. You scrimp, and you save, and you finally get the house, and then sometime it's going to start falling down. And that toy that you really had to have Big Brother steps on a week after Christmas. All these things that we think give us comfort, that we think give us assurance, but there is no comfort there. And whether it's the people or whether it's the things, you end up going back to the first lesson again, and you either end up with metal or wood or a toy of plastic or someone of flesh and blood, and that becomes your God. You set that thing or that person up in place of God, and you think that's where you'll find the comfort. God's here. You can't miss Him. Simeon is holding on to Him. You and I are holding on to Him, rejoicing that the comfort, the only comfort, has pulled us to His side, walks along with us, encourages you every step of the way as He gives you the comfort of the Word, the comfort of the forgiveness of sins, to let you know that God's here. You can't miss Him. Verse 26 tells us it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that Simeon would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary according to the law, Simeon took him into his arms and praised God. Not only is the comfort here that he had been waiting for, but so is the Christ. Now that's a title you're familiar with. That may be one of the first ones that you would list. We already heard that title already on Christmas Eve as you and I rejoiced to hear the angels say that today in the town of David, a Savior has been born for you. That baby who's over there, He is Christ the Lord. This is the Anointed One. This is the One who had been promised. This is the One who had been set aside from all of eternity to come here so that you can't miss Him. And He came here to carry out those offices that you and I often associate with the Christ. He's the prophet. He's the priest. He's the king. You heard it Christmas morning. The Word became flesh. The Word was God, and the Word is God. If you want to know what God has to say, listen to Jesus. If you want to hear the message that our Savior has for you and for me, Jesus is that Word. He's the prophet. He's the one who has come to let you know what God wants you to know. He's the priest. After the verses that we're focusing on, you remember how Simeon reminded Mary that a sword would pierce her soul too. You see, the whole reason that God's here, so that you can't miss Him, wrapped in human flesh, is so that He would die. The priest is the one who offered the sacrifices. Not only is Jesus the one who offered the sacrifice, He's also the sacrifice. He's the one who shed His own blood. He is the one who offered His own perfect life so that you could be forgiven. So that you know that God's here. So that you know you will be there with your Lord and with your Savior, because the priest has offered the perfect sacrifice, the perfect substitute for every single sin. And you know He can do it, and you know He's strong enough, and you know you can depend upon what He says because He's the king. He's the one who's in control. He's the one with the power. And already, even here, your king is busy fighting the battle that you and I cannot fight and cannot win on our own. You're told there in verse 27, right at the very end, when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for Him what was customary according to the law. you're going to have to go to the verses preceding our gospel lesson to find out what's going on. The law stated that after a child was born, the mother was unclean for a certain amount of time. At the end of those days, then you bring in the child and you bring in the mother and you bring in the sacrifices for purification. Jesus is 40 days old when Simeon holds him in his arms. And even though this prophet, priest, and king, even though this Christ, the one who had been appointed from all time, is looking rather weak and feeble, he needs to be carried in. He needs to have his head held up. He's still the king. He's still the priest. He's still carrying out what God wants you and me to know. And so as his mom and his so-called dad carry him into the temple, he's fulfilling the law. He's doing what you and I need to do. He's following perfectly the will of his Lord and his God. Already at 40 days, God's here. You can't miss him. It's the perfect one. Even as a child, doing everything necessary for you and for me. And that's why we get to sing along with Simeon, "Lord, you now dismiss your servant in peace according to your word. Because my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." You've sung those words before. We get to depart in peace. We get to rejoice in peace, whether you're leaving this building or leaving this life. You and I rejoice in the peace that comes because the comfort that can only come from the Christ has arrived. A light for the Gentiles. That's us. The glory of Israel. The whole reason God had not wiped that nation out is because that was going to be the conduit to bring the Savior, their Savior, our Savior, into this world. Israel's glory is God kept his promise through them. Your light is that God's here. You can't miss him. The Christ has come. Right before your eyes. I've never been at a place like this. Maybe you have. I know there's those restaurants that are out there where everything is done right there in front of you. All the preparation goes on. And I suppose depending upon how wild the guy gets with the knife throwing and how big the flame gets determines how close you want to sit to wherever the food is being made. It looks like this gal right in front is already backing up. But I think probably what's appealing about that kind of thing is it happens there, right before your eyes, right there in front of you. You get to see everything that's going on. That's what happened. Right before your eyes, God's here, wrapped in human flesh. You can see him, you can hear him, you can touch him, you can carry him. He's here. Right before your eyes, the promises are kept. Right before your eyes, the comfort has arrived. Right before your eyes, the Christ enters into this world. And right before your eyes is the Word. And right before your eyes is the water and the supper. To let you know God's here. You can't miss him. He reveals himself to you so that you know you have the forgiveness of sins. God's here. You can't miss him. The Savior. The baby. The Creator. The life. The light. The comfort. The Christ. Christmas may be over as far as the vast majority of this world is already concerned. And even as the season wraps up and the lights and the decorations begin to go away, God's still here. You still can't miss him. All of these things that you and I have learned throughout this Christmas season are still yours. He's here. Your Savior is here. You can't miss him. Amen.